You are listening to Down Home. When Jay and I launched the Down Home podcast 3 years ago, one of our initial topics centered on systemic racism. This discussion gained traction amid the public outcry following the tragic death of George Floyd at the hands of the Minneapolis police. With extensive media coverage, there was a widespread demand for change. But has any change occurred since then? At the heart of the issue lies the profound influence of anti-black racism, a force that permeates various institutions and structures within our society. As we navigate through this topic, it's essential to reflect on the words of Angela Davis, who stated, "In a racist society, it is not enough to be non-racist. We must be anti-racist." Systemic racism is not merely isolated incidents of prejudice or discrimination, but rather ingrained within the very fabric of our systems and institutions. It's the invisible hand that dictates access to resources, opportunities, and justice, often disadvantaging marginalized communities, particularly black individuals. Even in Canada, a country often praised for its diversity and inclusivity, systemic racism persists, erecting barriers that impede progress and equitable access to education, healthcare, employment, and fair treatment in the justice system. Its presence casts a shadow over the promise of a truly unbiased society. I'm Derek Wise, and on behalf of Jay Jones, welcome to Down Home, the Canadian experience by two black men. Breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, simple breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, simple breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground. So yeah, like when I was when I had the idea that we do this part two, I thought because last time we were talking about a CBC article that actually came out just a little bit after George Floyd passed away, and it was talking about systemic racism in Canada. Yeah. So I thought I would Google that again and see what would come up, but in the context of 2023, see if there's any like publications that are talking about it in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't believe what I found, man. There was this National Post article, and the actual title says, "Data on education and wages don't show systemic racism in Canada." And it says there's a study, right? Yeah. So I said, what the fuck is this? So I started reading, right? And the first thing that comes up is this graph.
Mm-hmm.
And the graph is on bachelor's degrees amongst different racialized groups in Canada.
Right.
So it goes down the line: Korean 60%, Chinese 56%, South Asian 55%, West Asian 52%. It goes down this whole line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, white people are not in this graph.
Yeah.
Right. Number two, black people and black people are at 32%, and indigenous people are not even on the graph. Wow. So that's the other thing, right? So mm-hmm. I'm going, what the, you know, that's kind of weird, like equating systemic racism with education. Like usually when I'm thinking about systemic racism, I'm thinking about, you know, the courts and
institutions.
Yeah, institutions that run our countries, kind of thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I'll keep on, right? I'm trying to have a little bit of an open mind. I'm looking down, and then there's one guy that they interviewed, and he's this guy that put these graphs together for them. His last name's Lau, Matthew Lau, mm-hmm. in this National Post article. And it's dated October 30th, 2023. And then he goes on, he's trying to explain these metrics and all this stuff. And then he comes down, he has two more graphs. The next graph is average weekly earnings of Canadian born women and men. But the data is from 2016.
Wow.
This is a National Post article, right? And yeah. It goes down the line again, pretty much in the same order. 1450s Korean men, and it goes down the line, right? And again, white people are on this one. So white people is 1120, and then South Asians 1100, black people is 1080 per week. Again, indigenous people are not on this list.
Wow.
Right?
That's so bizarre.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Isn't that something? And then he mm-hmm. goes on to say, well, you know, the data doesn't support that. There's considerable differences amongst racialized groups. And he keeps on going down all this. But you know what? It's a really weird take.
Yeah. Well, I just think sometimes they come up with these things trying to justify something. And it always takes away from the actual reality of what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like to bring up, to not have indigenous people is to me a sad fact that, you know, it just says a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It does, doesn't it?
You know, what is that saying? No news is, or I don't know. There's a saying about something about words or something like that. Anyway, I can't remember. But it just says a lot, the fact of the state of the problem to begin with. Like the fact that, you know, indigenous people and blacks, 32%. These are just the same problems we've always had. Like
yeah,
lack
exactly.
of education, lack yeah. of, you know, marginalized economics. And, yeah. you know, indigenous people who basically have been sent to the fringes, you know what yeah. I mean?
So you're right, though. This article is cherry picking data.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, like what this information states is that Canada's immigration policies are doing exactly what they're designed to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what I mean by that is that there's two ways that you can get into Canada. There's refugee.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like skills visas and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the skills visas and those other visas that bring immigrants in are based on number one, highly educated people. And the reason I know mm-hmm. this is because we kind of went through this to get Vanessa into the country from Australia, right?
Right, right, bit. Right.
It was a bit different with us because I'm Canadian and we
mm-hmm. and you were visa. Married.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
So like. The skills visa, you have to be highly educated and have a bachelor's degree already to come into the country, mm-hmm. right? Which explains a lot of that data. So if you're a immigrant that comes in and you're highly educated, you're going to push your children to have the same type of education.
Definitely.
This is why, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And the other one is the like business owners. So when you come into the country, you have enough money to actually start businesses. So these are rich individuals mm-hmm. that are coming into the country mm-hmm. and have a lot of money already.
Wow. Yeah.
So that all these data points out is that Canada's immigration policies are working for them.
Yeah. And bringing exactly what they want in for the greater good of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, man. So, yeah. so I got to thinking, like, we know all the data about incarceration rates of black people in the States is that's splashed all over the place. But what about Canada? Yeah. What about yeah. Canada, right? So I found yeah. the CBC article that states that black prisoners represent 9.2% of the total incarcerated population, although we only make up 3.5% of the population.
Right. Wow.
So we're overrepresentation.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all relative, like when you compare it to the States too, right? You know what I mean? Like based on our population here in Canada, you know?
Yeah, exactly, that's man.
Crazy.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And indigenous incarceration rates are along the same lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a crazy thing. I was reading this. I don't remember the article, but I was just grazing over this paragraph, something I read, and it wasn't necessarily the fact that we're black is why, you know, but that we're, you know, there's racism exists against us, but it's the simple fact that blacks are viewed as a threat, you know what I
yes.
mean? I don't know, it just blew my mind that this narrative has gone on so long that it just goes on from generation to generation to generation. And, you know, it's such a bad way to be. And, but if you look at the trend of society as a whole, even now, especially with social media and everything like that, people are quick to pick up these narratives that aren't goddamn true. Like, where is it, like, you know, as a world, we always like, oh, we want to do better. We want to lift everyone up. We're all, you know, all lives matters. We can't even, you know, Black people especially get their month, and we can't even say Black Lives Matters without people jumping on the bandwagon going, all life matters. And to some extent, that's true. But, you know, as a Black person, as any kind of person of color, your life matters, because a lot of it was whitewashed based on these narratives. And, you know, you go up against these walls, you climb in these walls that weren't, you didn't even build.
Well, yeah, the basis of to piggyback on what you're saying, the basis of anti-Black racism is unfounded fear.
Yeah.
Like it makes no sense, but you're right. The you have to ask yourself what feeds into that fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's the media. It's what you're watching on TV, Fox News. It's the Facebook algorithms that are feeding you crap all the time because you're on Facebook looking for certain things, and it's all that stuff that feeds into the unfounded fear that builds into anti-Black racism. But so to go, just to finish that, the last thing that I found, like, you know, systemic racism is still a thing. And so I found this StatsCan report that just flies in the face of this other guy in this, like, don't get it twisted. National Post is a right-wing publication in Canada. Mm-hmm. They feed into a lot of it's the Fox News of Canada.
Yeah, it's part of the National machine, Post. You know,
it is.
Yeah.
So I found this StatsCan report that states that racialized Canadians are less likely to find good jobs in early years of their career compared to white people. So these people are going off and getting their bachelor's degree, but they're still having a hard time once they get out into reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of that. Right.
Yeah. And so, what's the narrative, you know?
Yeah.
Boom.
And so that's it. Like, that's, you know, you can be as educated as you want to be. Once you're sitting in front of someone, what is that person? It doesn't even matter what race that person is.
Yeah,
because most likely, if you're in Toronto, most likely that hiring manager is probably not white.
Yeah.
Right. They're of a different race. But anti-Black racism isn't necessarily perpetrated by just white people.
No, definitely.
It's perpetrated by institutions and people that work in those institutions.
Mm-hmm. Right? And they follow the same status quo, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's the thing that it is so interesting, though. Like, once you talk about anti-Black racism, people are assuming, like, especially white people are assuming that, well, I'm not racist. We're not talking about you as an individual.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? We're not talking about you as an individual. We're talking about our systems that run our country. We're talking about our courts. We're talking about our businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about all these large institutions. We're talking about law enforcement, all these large institutions that actually run our country.
Yeah, and take a look, you know. It is what it is, but take a look at the board of directors of all these institutions, or the people who sit up higher up. Is there a diverse representation? Most likely not. Some, you know, on occasion, some people slip through, you know, they gotta keep up with appearances. But as a whole, even that person, whether or not you're a person of color, you become a part of that power structure that just solidly exists. It's like those pillars. It's those pillars that are granite, and they uphold these institutions and this way of thought and this narrative that continues to bring, you know, the world down. You know, I don't mean to be so dramatic, but
it's true,
the truth. Yeah.
Just to end, I got one story for you, man.
Yeah.
So as you know, me and Vanessa were in Europe, in the summertime.
Yeah.
And we did these walking tours, and we were in Portugal, and we did this walking tour. And on the walking tour was this historic McDonald's that was refurbished in the 40s and 50s from this very old grand hotel. So they kept as much as the McDonald's Corporation kept as much as the original building as they could. So it's like this Gucci McDonald's, basically. It has like a crystal chandelier and all the like original tile and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and literally, like, you line up to go. It's that popular with all the tourists, right? You line up to go in. And so we line up, we get in, and me and Vanessa kind of look at the far wall, and then we look at each other, and we're like, what the? And it was a full wall portrait or picture in tile, in glass tile, right? What it depicted was two white diners with a like tails and really dressed up. And they were dining, right? They had their stuff like that. And then the rest of the portrait were brown and black people milling the fields and basically bringing food to their table. Essentially, man.
Yeah. So
could not believe it. And the thing is, though, right? Images like that, this it's what's deep rooted in these institutions.
It's like
it's a subconscious thing.
Yeah, man, and it's hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
We choose not to see it, even though we know it exists in plain sight. Yeah. Like it's just this veil of veneer that we all live with, you know? Yeah.
It's like, and, well, you know, this is the way it is. That's the way it is.
You know, they're all pulling a Run DMC. It's like that because that's the way it is, right? Yeah. but you know, I don't know, man. That's why you got to continue to talk about these things because everyone deserves a fair shake, man, especially with these kids that are coming up. And if they're still learning these same things, how are we going to change? You know what I mean? Yeah. These narratives and being so, God bless them, because they have to deal with technology and a whole bunch of different things that are probably coming that we might not be around for. And who knows where that's going to go. But at the root of who they are, that's neither here nor there of what is to come. But the root of who they are from the foundations that we still live in and we want to teach them, man, you know what I mean? Like we gotta do something about that. Yeah. And I've been really feeling it a lot lately just by reading and seeing things and just narrative and not the narrative about racism, all that, just narratives in general. The more things change, the more they stay the same, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, though. Like, for anyone that thinks that we were at a turning point in 2020, like, to come upon, and that was not the only article that I found, unfortunately. There was another Financial Post article stating very similar crap. Right. Great. And citing, but the thing is, when you think about systemic racism, do you think about Chinese people or, South Asian? You don't really like systemic racism affects who? It's anti-Black racism. It affects the BIPOC community.
Definitely.
Black indigenous people of color. So
especially in North America, you know?
Yeah. Well, for all of the stereotypical things that we talk about amongst ourselves and our population, when you think about, there's this stereotypical take that people of Asian descent are smart, they're good at math, like that benefits them in certain. They might not be smart and good at math, but there's that take. Believe me, I've worked with a number of different people through my years as a financial analyst. Some Asian people are not that smart when it comes to math.
To math.
So it's you can't have these stereotypical takes on things, right? Because, because it's not true.
Yeah, and it leads to broader things, you know what I mean? And and then, like you said, man, those subconscious things, and then it gets depicted in visuals, and you know, and then just the lack of and the lack of what we always talk about, just the lack of history and the unknown, you know? Yeah.
You have been listening to Down Home. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
On a high plateau, from the one down below to the future of the funk, getting lost in the flow. Contact with the spot, my gex. Now it's time to flex with the force from the soul, reaching all aspects, getting deep, no time to sleep as you reach your next phase, laying it all on the line. New trail start to blaze, it's a fire inside, a brand new path, breaking down the sum to one, feeling free. I just laugh with the joy of
the song. Breaking new ground from the breakdown. The vibe like magic prescribed, only the seal a perfect blend, like a diamond in the rough, ready to drop a perfect gem. It's time to shine so fine to see what you find. Revolution.